When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Oh my God, Sue. Seriously, I'm going to need some counseling after today because I keep making the mistake of looking at my responses on the X Twitter about Amendment 5. And it's just unreal what people are saying and how they think taxes were going to be raised and tripled and doubled. And Look, this is on the Republicans and Governor Kehoe for not marketing this thing better. I get that. But I am shocked by how many people, and these are a lot of people that are on my side, you know, usually, but they're making these claims. One guy, I'll read some of this here a little bit later. One guy's saying, yeah, we'd raise our taxes to 25% sales tax. There's not even a state in the country that has anything close to that. Like maybe 11.5%. Now, some of that does depend on special business districts, but there's who would think? See, some of this, all you got to do is think, okay? And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but when you don't have one state in the nation that has anywhere close to 25%, how can you make a claim that that's going to happen in Missouri with a supermajority? And then some guy brings up the tax increase on gas, which, by the way, I supported. You know why? Because it's a user tax. Mm-hmm. And people from Illinois and Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa and Indiana and Arkansas and Kansas, they all pay it. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're not the only ones paying it. It's a user tax. I would say raise it higher because it's a user tax. But, you know, there's no thinking through the issues that way, which is unfortunate and sad. One of the big stories last night, if not one of the biggest here in the St. Louis area, was the victory by Steve Ellman in St. Charles County over Bill Eigel and Jason Law. And we had Steve on for a short time last night. I want to thank him for doing that. He's with us this afternoon. Congratulations.
Congrats, Steve.
On another victory. How are you, Steve?
Thank you, Mark and Sue. How is everything in the Lou?
I think it's okay.
Things are great out in St. Charles.
Yeah, we're settling down here. We're trying to do a little autopsy on what happened both locally and nationally. But a lot of people, and you know me, I was a fan of yours and I wanted you to win, but there were a lot of people predicting that Bill Eigel was going to win this. And it really, in the end, Steve, wasn't close, was it?
No.
No, I was unsure up until a few weeks ago, and I started feeling more and more confident, but I never dreamed we would that I would win by this margin. And of course, very appreciative and very thankful for the good weather. We had a great turnout. I think I may have told you before that 2 years ago, during the primary and election season, there were 92,000 people in St. Charles County who voted for Mike Kehoe in November that did not bother to vote in the Republican primary. So this time around, and I think a lot of it is because of the interest in this race, but also because of the amendments, we had twice as many people turn out. And they had 40% instead of a 20%. And boy, I tell you, you know, the board people that vote, I think they more legitimate the results.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right about that. And I think the amendments did drive a lot of interest at my polling place. I know I saw more people maybe than a primary. You know, there was some theory that we were tossing around last night, and David Barklage pointed this out, that maybe in St. Charles County in particular, there was a fair amount of crossover where you had Democrats that were pulling Republican ballots to vote in the executive race. Do you see evidence of that?
Well, I definitely know a lot of those 92,000 people that voted Republican in November showed up and voted yesterday. I'm sure there were some Democrats, a lot of independents. You never know exactly how many there are. I think the final poll was 60% of the people in the county took a Republican ballot and 40% took a Democrat. So that's not far off on what we usually have. But I think there was some of that for sure.
So how do you know, obviously you've had this job for a long time. You were not going to run again. You got back into the race when Bill Eigel declared that he was a candidate. So I don't know, mentally, I'm not saying you were checked out, but you kind of were resigned to the fact that you were going to leave this position at a certain point. But do you want to describe the feelings that you had when you knew or you felt like you had to stay in this race and run again?
Well, I a couple of weeks after the last election, I got rid of all my signs. I mean, I definitely was not planning on running again, and it wasn't because I didn't love my job, and I'm very thankful if the people will give me a chance after the November election to serve four more years. I love the job. I just hated the way Republican politics had become.
Yeah.
You know, I this is only the second primary that I've ever been involved in. And the first one was the first year I ran, and Ronald Reagan was still president. And of course, he had the 11th commandment that you don't say anything negative about your other Republicans.
Well, that's changed.
I found out this year that commandment is pretty much gone.
No, that one's been gone for a long time, unfortunately. What is your reaction as a Republican, you know, and as a county executive in one of the biggest counties in Missouri, to what happened with Amendment 4 and Amendment 5? I mean, Steve, those amendments just got demolished, and they got demolished in large part because Republicans voted against them.
I agree with exactly what you said before I came on. Yeah, it just was poorly written. You know, I'm not sure who was writing it or what they were thinking when they did, but, you know, everybody would love to cut their income tax, but then to leave it wide open as to what's going to replace it, and in fact that the voters wouldn't have a chance to vote on it, I mean, that's just asking for a no vote, I think.
Well, I think in the end that is what happened. And on Amendment 4, I just think Amendment 4 just gets confusing to people. And, you know, in the end, I've admitted this, I ended up voting against Amendment 4 because I thought it was just too convoluted. But it's interesting.
Well, Mark, you were probably still up in Milwaukee or somewhere. But I'm old enough to remember the Hancock Amendment.
Well, no, I was here when that, because that was, I came here in 1979. The Hancock Amendment was 1980, right?
Yeah. And we didn't, it certainly didn't pass in Kansas City and St. Louis, but it passed everywhere else and got a majority statewide. And it was exactly the same kind of situation. The Republicans wanted the Democrats who controlled Jeff City to put some sort of break on property taxes like they had in California. And they wouldn't do it. So they had to go to an initiative petition. And yeah, if they would have had to get all eight congressional districts to approve Hancock Amendment, it wouldn't have been approved.
Well, and I guess I would take a stand. I understand the purpose of what the proponents of four, I don't know who they were because nobody really campaigned for it. I understand what the legislature has been talking about the last few years. It makes my eyes glaze over. And I've thought for a long time, because I've been in Missouri, you know, I was in Milwaukee for a while, but I remember the 1980s and the Hancock Amendment. And I remember a lot of initiative petitions that I thought probably shouldn't have been on a ballot and passed. So I get making it a little harder because of the outside money to change the Constitution. But at this point, I mean, don't you have to say the voters have spoken and that issue has to go away? That's another thing that frustrates people is once we, you know, have our say, especially so definitively on a ballot issue that then the legislature goes in and tries to maybe undo it. And people don't like that, Steve. I think you know that, right?
Hey, you know, marijuana and gambling, you know, on sports and all those things, they shouldn't be in our Constitution. Mm. They should be in the statute.
That's right.
And yes, exactly.
If it's not working out, you can amend the statute any year, any session. But a lot of these things have happened because the legislature has refused to deal with it.
Well, they have no political courage. They don't have courage.
I don't know what's going to happen with the, you know, with these machines that these voting machines. But, you know, if the legislature doesn't do anything, we'll probably end up putting that in the Constitution, too, or at least somebody will try. So if the legislature would do their job and the Constitution would be used to basically lay out basic principles that could then be refined by legislative enactment, that's the way it was intended to work, and it just hasn't been working.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, unfortunately, you know, or maybe fortunately, this whole issue kind of goes away and they look at it maybe from that perspective. Again, congratulations on the victory. Congratulate Kevin Killeen for still having a job. We were worried about him since he's a former colleague. But, Steve, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon. I appreciate
it. Okay, we're gonna keep Kevin around for at least four more years.
Okay. All right, take care.
Good day.
All right, we'll
bye,
see you.
Bye, Steve.
Yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of people might know Kevin's name. It's funny because I remember listening to Camo X in the 1980s when I was either in journalism school or just out in my, you know, my first jobs, and we wanted to be like Camo X, like when I was in Columbia. And Kevin Killeen was one of those voices, man, that I would hear all the time. He was a bulldog of a reporter for decades at Camo X. And then a few years ago, he kind of surprisingly retired from broadcast media, went to work for Steve Ellman in a communications role. And Kevin's just a great guy. And the downside of having Kevin in that role with Steve is we lost a bulldog reporter, someone who was never afraid to ask important questions of the mayor, of the county executive, of the police chief. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist at all, but he had that reputation. He was really good at it. And, you know, that's good local journalism that, you know, is kind of fading away, unfortunately.
Yes.
All right. Hey, we got another seminar with the team from the Retirement Advisory Group next Tuesday. I'm going to fill you in with
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.